Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. RockNashville.com is your community resource page. Check it out for more information around town, including Nashville's Good to Go initiatives, CDC updates, ways to help the Middle Tennessee community. That's RockNashville.com. Make sure you visit RockNashville.com today. Looking forward to having Hal Gill on this segment. We're still trying to get a hold of him, so we'll have him along here in just a minute. But, Joe, we were talking in the last segment about the Preds, specifically Johansson, Duchesne, Arvidsson, and we were just looking it up in the break. We talked about the dominance of Johansson in that series against Chicago in 2017 that really lasted all the way through the 2017 playoffs until he got hurt. And we mentioned, you know, he doesn't have to score goals necessarily to be effective, to be dominant. Well, you looked it up. He scored 3 goals in the playoffs in 2017, had 10 assists, but was by far, I think, their most effective player outside of Pecorine on the ice. I mean, he was dominant the whole playoffs.
Yeah, and, you know, so 10 assists. And granted, now he got hurt in, you know, it was game 4 against Anaheim, so of course he missed 2 games of that, and he missed Stanley Cup final.
Sure.
6 of those assists, or no, 5 of those assists did come against Chicago. But, you know, 1 goal, 5 assists. It's not like he was lighting up the scoreboard, but he was just a presence and just really, really good the entire playoff. So that's the guy. It was only 3 years ago. Feels like longer, but it was 3 years ago.
I do find it interesting because we talked about it earlier in the show in terms of the 4 guys, Johansson, Duchesne, Arvidsson, Forsberg, who are the 4 or 2 of the 4 that you'd like to have up at their top level the most. I've asked you that. I've answered it. I put it on Twitter. Pretty much everybody has Ryan Johansson in that discussion. So that just goes to show how important he is to this team. We have our good friend Hal Gill on the line with us right now, Preds radio analyst. Skillsy, what's going on, my man?
Not much. Just getting ready for some hockey.
And doesn't it feel good to say that? Like we were talking about it a couple segments ago with your buddy Pete Weber. Just walking in the arena, being able to watch people practice and play hockey and move around on skates. It was a borderline emotional experience.
Yeah, no, it's been a slow process, but I got to tell you, it's pretty exciting. I've been down at Ford Ice Center and watching my son skate and then getting the NHL hockey back and on the horizon is pretty cool. Pretty cool to see. I think they've done a great job of making sure this has all worked out. Now everyone's in the bubble and it's real now, isn't it?
It sure is. And Hal, one of the things we've been talking about here on the show is it looks like so far in training camp that Victor Arvidsson is healthy. He's got that burst to him. How big could a fully charged Victor Arvidsson be for this group in terms of the difference that he could be able to make?
Yeah, you know what? It's funny when you look at a player and you say, okay, what's their strong point? What do they do well? There's some guys that have a good shot. Some guys have a good stick on the poke check. Or some guys hit well. When you look at Arvidsson, it's all about his speed burst. And if he doesn't have that, it changes his game. And I think he was struggling towards the after coming back from injury to get that speed burst. And he's got to reinvent himself. Now he's coming back with that speed burst. I think we're going to see a re-energized, like you said, that's everything to him. So I think he's going to be certainly a player to watch. And let's not kid ourselves. I think that Jofa line is going to be pretty good, and they're going to need to be good. If the Preds want to do some damage, they're going to need that line.
Yeah, Hal, we were talking a little bit about, you know, just the difference in, obviously, playoff hockey and, you know, the need for physicality. Maybe not as much in this matchup, but if the Preds are going to, you know, get past this and keep going, you know, they're going to need, you know, that physical presence. Who are you looking for on this team to to provide that, to step up to what, you know, some of the things that these guys are going to see in the playoff style of hockey?
Yeah, well, yeah, you said a playoff style hockey. I know this is a qualifying round and it's not considered playoffs, but a playoff to get into the playoffs is even more urgent that you have that physicality in a five-game series, especially you want to establish dominance. I used to say, hey, you need this certain guy. A lot of times teams will have a certain guy that brings out the physicality in the team. I don't really look at this team as a team that is overly physical in the Preds. I think in Phoenix, the Coyotes are the same kind of team. I don't think they are going to go out, but I think that team toughness, that team physicality is really what's going to separate teams, especially in a five-game series. You can't just have one guy go out there and be a bully. The game has changed, and I don't think that works as well as it used to. As far as setting the tone. But I think everyone, to a man, has to go out, especially early on in game one, the first 5 minutes, everyone's got to get a hit. Everyone's got to establish themselves physically so that they can prove it to themselves and prove it to the Coyotes that they're here to play and they're here to compete.
Preds radio analyst Hal Gill on the line with us. And Hal, you hear people talk all the time about experience and how much that's a factor once you get into the playoffs. Personally, I think that's probably more of a factor this time around with your familiarity with your teammates, your line mates, being in high pressure situations, having that experience of going through that together after you've had 4.5 months off. How valuable do you think a team like the Predators, who have a ton of experience at the playoff level, how valuable do you think that will be for them as they head into this tournament?
It's always the catch-22, right? You need to have the experience, and you can't get experience without it's a tough one. I think it matters, but I think the unknown right now is a great time for all these guys to get more experience, and I think they're going to draw on it, but this is going to be different for every guy. No one has gone through this. No one has managed their emotions so the way they're going to have to in this. It's a short span, so you got to get ready to go, but you can't be too nervous. So I think that experience is going to be big for them. I think they're going to use it. But that being said, I don't think you can rely on it too much. You can't just say, hey, I've been here before. This isn't going to be a big deal. I think you have to have, you're not on the panic button, but I think everyone, and I would imagine if I was in this situation, I'd have my hand pretty close to it. That means a sense of urgency on everything you do. You can't just go out and say, hey, I'm going to do business as usual because I've been there before. You have to be ready to turn it on a lot faster than you ever have. And you have to have a little bit of panic in your body that keeps you sharp. And so I think they're going to be relying on that.
Speaking of experience, you've got a goaltender with 89 playoff games and one with none. So we're going to ask you the same way we asked Pete. If you're Coach Hal Gill making a decision on a game one starter, what are you doing there?
What did Pete say?
Pete said Pekka.
I, you know what? The problem I have is that you really can't go wrong. I do think I would use both, whichever way you want to go with it. Juice put up such a good argument for taking an NHL job, but it's hard to take it from Pekka Rinne. So I still don't know. I don't think there's a wrong decision to be made, and I think if it was me, I'd rely on using both of them. And, if you start Pekka and Pekka looks great and gets two wins, then do you keep him in for the back-to-back? If he plays fantastic and you lose two games, do you still want to ride him out? Or, if one guy goes out and has a bad start, do you just hold up on him and go with the other guy? There's so many things that have to be considered. But ultimately, what I say is, if I'm in that locker room, I'll play for either one of those guys. And so the belief is there for both of them. So I don't think there's a bad decision. I think if you go through that locker room and say, who's your guy, I think you'd probably get either one, you know. Go ahead, put those guys out there. I think they'll play for both of them, and that's a good problem to have. I think that's what we're going to see from the Coyotes, too. They believe in their goaltending, and when you believe in your goaltending, you can go out and play your game the right way. I think that's ultimately what's most important in a five-game series, is having a team that believes in their goaltender so they can just go out, play their game, and know that the saves are going to be made.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the back-to-back. I was going to ask about that, too. Let's say it's, you know, just whoever plays game one or two does well, does fine. They're, you know, maybe nothing spectacular, but nothing bad. Like, do you think that John Hines still, you know, just switches just because it's a back-to-back? Or, you know, is that just not as big of a deal? We never see it in the playoffs, but is it not as big of a deal as maybe we're making it to be?
Well, it's such a hard decision. I really, you look at, there's so many things to consider. You know, if Juice goes out in game two and has a 55 save performance, steals a game for you, yeah, he's hot, but he also worked a lot. And so as a fresh goalie going out, especially when they haven't had much time, you know, we'll see what happens in this exhibition game. Are they going to split it? Are they, you know, like, you want to go out there and play a full game and have your best guy go out with his best foot forward. But, you know, it's tough to play back-to-back. Early on in the season, I'd play a back-to-back, and you're hitting my, you know, I could play the back-to-back, but the next day my hips and back were burning. I mean, you feel it. And so I think the same is to be considered with goalies. They're going to be working hard. Now, if they go out there and Fred's lock it down and they don't get much work, then okay, it's a lot easier to turn around and play it back-to-back. But those are all things that need to be considered. It's not an easy decision, and I think Hines has a lot of work to do. And I know that the big thing for me is he's going to talk to Ben Vanderklok and get a good look at what he's got and how he feels about the player, about the goalies, and then make the decisions as they go. But I think it's a fluid situation. You got to monitor it as it's going. There's no sense in saying, hey, you're the guy, we're going to ride you. You know, I think they're looking at both of them and say, hey, let's do this together.
Hal, last thing for you here. As you're well aware, the playoffs, if you get through the whole thing, I mean, it's a grind physically, but it's also a grind mentally as well. But typically, you can kind of get away from it. I mean, you can go home, you can get away from the rink, you can hang out with your family. You're not really going to have that this time around. How do you think the guys are going to be able to hand this mentally, being away from their families for potentially, you know, such a long period of time if they make it all the way through this tournament?
Yeah, it's funny. It's really cool. The Preds put photos of their family in their room. So when they got into their room, they felt a little bit like home. I think that's really cool. But, you know, my experience in playoff hockey is you drop everything. You don't have – you're not paying bills. You're not, you know, good luck to the tax collector. You're not worried about all that stuff. Your main focus is playing hockey. Everything else goes to the wayside. So, you know, you have a day off. If it's a regular playoff experience, then, you know, maybe you go for a walk around the city and you take it easy and you go have lunch somewhere. But you're not really doing anything. I know it sounds crazy for 2 months or almost 3 months that you're going to be in this situation, but I think these guys are going to be comfortable. It's going to be normal for them to just relax, go hang out, play some cards, hang out, play video games, watch some TV, kind of relax on the days off. Game day comes around and your sole focus is all on that game. So I don't think it would be a big deal. For me, certainly, you know, I've said goodbye to my family so many times as soon as playoffs comes around that I think the families understand this, especially, you know, it's hard with the younger kids. You spent a bunch of time with them during this pause, but I think all these families understand it and they know how important this is. And the players are certainly engaged. They're going to be all systems go and it's all going to be towards winning hockey games. So I don't think it'll be a problem for him. And certainly for me, it wouldn't be a problem. I would go out and you shut out the rest of the world and play some hockey.
Preds radio analyst Hal Gill has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Skillsy, thanks so much for joining us as always. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And hey, I'm excited. I get to go smash this car today.
There you go.
I don't know if you guys saw
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah. That'd
that
be great.
That car is going to take the beating.
Yes, I would say so.
Go
have fun
it.
With that. That'd be great.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Hal. Appreciate you. Hal Gill, one of the best in the business there. Always a pleasure to have him on the show. When we come back, we'll continue the Preds discussion and get into a little bit of their series against Arizona, what we're looking for in that matchup. That's next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Get two tickets for two parks for the price of one. That's two tickets for the price of one for Beach Bend and Splash and Lagoon Water Park on sale now. Go to thegamenashville.com and click on the Beach Bend Buy One, Get One free ad to purchase your tickets now for only $37.99. I've been to Beach Bend. It's great. That's a pretty good deal.
That is a good deal.
Yeah.
Did you get this one?
I've heard it. I don't know what the name of it is. I can't remember.
I wonder if you played...
Am I getting points for like hearing it, knowing that I've recognized it before, or knowing what it's called?
That was just the instrumental. So, I mean, if there were some vocals, would that help?
Probably.
We can get you some vocals.
You got to be careful with vocals every now and then.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, no kidding.
Because I was going to say, we could come back to that one and maybe, you know... Because we're just getting artists, right? We're just asking artists.
Yeah, I'll give you the full point for artists. I'll give you the entire one for artists. You don't have to get the specific name right.
Because I think you would get this one. I think maybe. You'd have a chance.
Maybe. I'm telling you, I'm very sheltered.
It's the difference between, you know, back down to 333 or back up to 500.
That's a pretty big difference. Either way, though, I'm looking pretty good for the Hall of Fame. So
that's
I'm
right.
cool with it. We had Hal Gill on in the last segment, Joe, and said a lot of really interesting things there. It has always been amazing to me, like, how compartmentalized you have to be as a professional athlete. He's talking there about, you know, the family just kind of understands it. You know, you got to leave, and I think I could probably do it for a couple months and go do a job if I had to, but it certainly would be hard for me to get up and leave my family for a couple months knowing that I'm not going to be able to see them, especially if you have young kids. And I know, you know, it's different now with FaceTime and Zoom and all these different things that you can do, but certainly the mentality that you have to have to leave, know that you could be gone for 2 months, 2.5 months, to go try to get this one job done. It takes some mental fortitude, I think, to be able to do that. And some guys, I think, handle it better than others.
Yeah. Doing something on this week, actually. Man, the self-promotion today.
It's been great.
It's amazing.
It's been the Joe Rexroad self-promotion show today.
I love it. I love myself. But it is. It is a big deal, and it's harder for – probably teams with guys with a lot of kids. And this team is that
team.
It's
getting there, yeah.
Now, on the one hand, you know, you're going to a bubble. It's not like you can get probably much trouble in the bubble. You're going to go, like, play Papa Shot all night, drink beer. And, you know, I don't know. Like,
what,
you know, we actually had a piece someone wrote. You know, I think the quote was like, it's going to be like a 2-month frat party or something like that.
Nothing,
you know,
says party like Edmonton.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, people with the a little bit older guys married with families probably go to their room and rest and play, you know. But they also miss these people, and that is going to be a drag on people who are there for a long time especially. And in some of these cases, you know, talk to Matthias Ekholm, for example, and his wife Ida. You know, she and their son William are over in Sweden, so it's already been – kind of an extended break. Now you have this, and while families actually can come, I believe conference finals,
yeah,
you know, that's not as easy for the families who are living in Europe right
now.
Man,
that's a haul to Edmonton.
Yeah,
it's a long way.
So it may end up, yeah, look, so like if the Preds were to, and I think Ida said this, like it could be 4 months, with us not seeing them, and they are doing the FaceTime, and I think that helps because you can actually see someone's face and sort of have some normalcy there. But yeah, it's something to think about. Just the weirdness of this. A playoff run can be really long and you're sort of away, but you're still your home end road. Plus families can come. They can come on the road. I mean, you have the means to bring people with you if you want. You get tickets in the other, you know, opposing arenas. So this is just see ya soon, but I guess hopefully not soon, because we're rooting for you to win, but that means we won't see you for longer.
Yeah, it's just an interesting dynamic, and just kind of puts things into perspective. I know a lot of people have had to deal with different situations and not being able to see loved ones throughout this whole pandemic. I mean, you know, some people have your parents live in different states, or you're not being able to see your grandkids for a long time. That can be really difficult. That's one of the things that, you know, I kind of miss the most, is just being able to go somewhere and hang out with people.
Yeah.
Like, that are not like my life. Like, I love my wife, hanging out with her and my parents and all that, but I do kind of miss my friends every now and then. So to not have any of that really outside of your teammates in this bubble, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that. I think everybody will be fine, but it could be difficult at times. I mean, you're in your room by yourself. You're not really doing anything when you're not at the hockey rink. I mean, you got the players' lounge, I guess you could go hang out in, that they tweeted out pictures of yesterday, which looked pretty cool, by the way. But just going to be a very different experience inside that bubble.
Yeah, and look, if you lose right away, then it's just basically like you went on a road trip. So you're earning yourself. If you earn yourself forward, that's the thing. You'll have this momentum. You'll be feeling great about how you're playing, but you then are signing up for a much longer stay, and you don't have some of the things that energize players. You don't have your fans.
Right.
You don't have even, like, these guys really enjoy, like, get on their little chartered planes, and they got fans out there getting autographs. They greet them when they come back. Now, all that stuff that goes along with, like, a playoff run, and the city, you know, gains momentum, you think especially about the one 3 years ago, and it'll just be, hey, Nashville, you guys excited about us? We're over here in the bubble. Well, wave out the window.
I am, like, from an in-game perspective, you know, we've seen it at Bridgestone. Like, you're down two goals, all of a sudden you get one back, and that place just comes alive, man. Like, it's so loud in there, and how many times have we seen the Preds kind of ride that wave of emotion in the building? And you're not really going to have that this year. Maybe, I mean, you'll get that kind of uptick of emotion from scoring the goal. Hopefully that's enough to carry you through. But there is something
some
to
guys
be said.
Be on the bench, yeah, you'll
just
hear them.
Yeah, waving a towel up, yeah, it'd be great. But there is something to be said about, like, the energy that comes with the crowd, both positive and negative. When you're on the road, sometimes you can kind of go in shell a little bit after the home team's buzzing around. I'm interested to see, like, from an on-ice standpoint, what sort of an impact not having that has, not only on just the Predators, but just teams in general in the playoffs. Because, as you know, Joe, I mean, that's a big part of what the playoffs are, is the crowd and the environment and the fans and how crazy everybody gets. I'm interested to see what it looks like without that.
Yeah, like, I still think hockey is an easier sport to deal with the road than, like, football or basketball.
Sure.
I think those crowds affect the play more. I mean, obviously in football you can mess up, you know, a snap count, and, you know, I think in basketball it's such on top of the action. But no doubt that the Preds energized and took energy from those scenes, those timeout standing O's. And I have to think it doesn't help the other side when they're in that, right? So, yeah, you're going to have a little bit more self-manufactured inspiration in this thing. I know that we'll have to listen to when the Blackhawks score, we'll have to listen
to Chelsea Dagger.
Sure,
Preds fans will love that.
I mean, that's demoralizing. That should be demoralizing for any human who has to hear that song in any context, really. But, yeah, you know, the Preds will have their goal song, and they've got some stuff they're going to pipe in, but it'll be very strange from that perspective. Hey, the bottom line is, though, the guy across from you is trying to kick your butt,
yeah,
and it's the highest level of the sport you can play, and you're playing for the Stanley Cup. So that should mean something, too.
Yeah, once you take that hit the first time, you're like, oh, okay, we're in this thing, huh? How about that?
Yeah, you're not just going to, like, skate figure eights all of a sudden because there's no crowd.
I wonder if the concourse in Edmonton has been – did you see, like, a couple weeks ago where the storm rolled through Edmonton,
yeah,
and, like, broke a hole through the pipes, and it was just flooding all over the concourse?
It looks
not
fine
now. Not that it
really
matters. But I hope they've got that fixed.
Yeah, it looks okay now. The ice looks cool.
The ice does look cool. The setup there, I think, is really interesting. And it's been cool to watch, like, the NBA, what they've done with their setup there inside the bubble in Orlando. Like, the Heat were playing, and they had, like, LED boards of Heat fans chanting different chants. And the creativity that, you know, MLB's come up with, I think Fox is doing virtual fans on their Saturday games and, like, superimposing them in. I am interested to see, like, how creative – the NHL gets with this once they're up there.
Stillman thinks the fans are just so awesome. It's like,
does he really?
It's the most important. Yeah, I mean, I yelled at him for like an hour straight Friday. So still a little bit upset about it.
It's okay. Flashbacks. Joe's having flashbacks.
Stillman flashbacks.
When we come back, we'll get into a little bit of college football discussion. How confident are we that college football is going to be able to have a season? We'll talk about that next. This is Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Man, I thought for a second this was Another One Bites the Dust by Queen.
Baseline similar. Much similar baseline.
I really thought it was Another One Bites the Dust by Queen. Oh, my goodness.
That's me trying to trick you.
That shows where my head's at in my musical taste. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Elijah Campbell. Coming to you live on this Friday, or I said Friday morning, Monday morning. I wish it was Friday.
It's like Friday. Every day's like Friday.
Every day's like Friday here on this show.
Sports is back.
That's right.
Yeah. Lovely. So nothing here?
Nothing here,
this,
man.
You got to get this one.
Well, I'm just telling you, it ain't going to happen.
All right. We'll work with it.
I feel like I'm disappointing Elijah.
No, yeah, that's fine.
He's looking at me like some disappointed dad, like son.
Yeah.
So the baseline is Good Times by Chic. That's okay. A disco baseline. But you're right. It is kind of Another One Bites
similar.
The Dust. Kinda.
Yeah, we're not mad. We're just disappointed.
That's fine. I've been disappointing people for a long time. That's cool. Doesn't bother me.
So that's the first popular rap song. You know, I guess that's the first one to chart, basically.
Yeah, it was the first one to chart, and so this is it's real old. We're taking you back to the genesis here.
Yeah, although actually these guys kind of ripped off like the real rappers in New York City. They were like from a Jersey pizza place, but.
Is he like some sort of, you know, historical hip hop expert?
Well,
like, are you like you doing projects on this?
Well, I'm going to tell you that you watch a lot of stuff during a pandemic and on Netflix, and they've got an awesome. Have you seen the hip hop history?
History
thing?
Of hip hop?
Yeah, it's really good.
It's awesome. It's
so I
good.
Didn't know that before the Sugar. Okay, this is the Sugar Hill Gang, Rapper's Delight. But yeah, they were sort of in New York. People were like, "Who are these guys?" Like, they were ripping off. Rappers in New York kind of taking a lot of their lines even to this song, but it, you know, it charted and it kind of brought rap into. This was in 1979.
Well, that was a good 13 years before I was around.
It was when my hair looked much like it does today.
It looks great today. No question about that. Joe Rexrode is rocking the hair as we get through this Monday morning. Joe, I got to tell you, I'm very concerned because I'm a hockey guy. I love hockey. Really love all sports. I'm just a major sports guy, but college football might be my favorite. I love college football so much. Growing up here in the South, good old SEC boy, love me some Tennessee Vols football. It's been very disappointing for the past decade. But I'm very worried that college football, or at least college football as I know and love, is not going to take place this year. I mean, and you mentioned earlier, we've talked about, you know, the bubble with the NBA and the NHL. NFL, we still feel pretty confident they'll at least be able to play. I'm not overly confident that college football is going to be able to get this thing figured out. How do you feel?
So you got to be careful here, Robbie, because giving that opinion or looking at something objectively and saying, man, that's going to be hard. Some people are going to accuse you of rooting against college football. That's big thing on Twitter.
I'm rooting very much for college football.
Yeah,
let me make that clear.
Yeah, if you're in sports media and you're saying, gosh, it might be hard for them to pull this off, here are some of the reasons. There are going to be people who say, oh, you're rooting against college football. No, that's made me very angry in the last few months. No one who does this for a living is rooting against any of this from happening. But when you cover it, you have to look at it honestly. And I'll give you my honest opinion. I think it's really, really hard to see college football making it through a season. Maybe they'll be able to get it started. But it's a lot different even from the NFL in terms of the things that they can do. And now, lately there's been the argument, and I get it, about if we're worried about safety, where are these kids better? Are they better on the campus with the professionals and all that, or are they better in their hometowns? And
sure.
I could buy that. No, I mean, I think you can make that case that they're better on campus, but it doesn't mean there won't be outbreaks. It doesn't mean that, especially if you have students on campus, you don't have major concerns once, you know, the guys aren't in the building, And they're not going to be in the building all the time. So I just, you look at baseball and what we see with the Marlins today, and it's just another example of how easy this can happen.
It's up to 14 with the Marlins, I think, on the outbreak. 14.
Is that what it is? Yeah, so like if one of the factors, of course, is where are you? Where are you in the country? What's happening in that area? So in Florida, it's problematic. Now, as we see, Florida is a great example of everything. Florida is all this stuff. It's very easy. It's a problem for teams that are not in a bubble. Also, the bubble can work in Florida.
Yeah.
You can work, if it can work in Florida, it can work just about freaking anywhere. But around here, it's not great. We have not done well. And so that makes it more of a problem for the Titans, more of a problem for Nashville SC, as we've already seen. And with college football, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's low right now for me that they're going to be able to pull this off.
Got a text from Nate on the text line that says, I feel like the SEC will at least start their season because they'll go until someone forces them to stop, but I'm not convinced they will finish. I have kind of long thought that the SEC is probably going to be the last one to just shut things down here. Just how important SEC football is to this region, to the schools in which they represent. It's a way of life for a lot of people. But having said that, like you said, like it's one thing if you're an NFL team, your players, you've got some young guys that you have to kind of watch and monitor. But by and large, the maturity level is a little bit higher with NFL players.
Yeah, and you've college, got direct financial got, incentive
exactly.
to do this.
In
yeah.
college, like, look, I think back to when I was 19, 20 years old. If something like this were to have happened then, I'd like to think I would have taken it seriously, but I probably wouldn't have because I'm 19, I'm 20 years old, I think I'm invincible. I think, okay, this thing really only affects old people, and I don't really have the wisdom at that age to look ahead and try to be, you know, empathetic for other people. You're going to have some of that on a college campus, whether that's the best place for them to be or not in a somewhat controlled environment. You're going to have guys sneaking off at night, going to do other things, going to bars, going wherever. That's the thing you have to worry about with college students. And look, I'm not trying to badmouth them or anything like that. It's just the way it is. It's the way it's always been with college students. That's kind of an additional thing you have to worry about with college football specifically.
Yeah, my wife and I had this discussion. You know, we're looking at like just video of jackasses on Broadway just acting like nothing's happening. And I said, we go back to dating in college and going to the bars. I'm like, would we have been acting like this? And I'm like, I don't think so, but I also understand what you just said, that feeling of invincibility, and it's not my problem. Well, these college kids are surrounded, even if they have the incentive and want to play and want to do the right thing, they are going to be surrounded by people who think that way
sure.
on these college campuses. So, again, even if they don't sneak off to bars, it might just be going to the bookstore. I mean, it's just so hard to keep this from spreading. So you can think it's overblown and all that, but it's going to stop these things from happening, whether you like it or not. And college football is just, again, we've talked about college basketball earlier. That one's really interesting. To me, it's almost like, yeah, get back to me when there's a vaccine. But you talk about the financial implications, Robbie. I mean, already in college football, look at these areas and cities and surrounding areas and how much they are tied to these football weekends with
yeah.
I mean, Knoxville and surrounding area, that's so much of the economy is these college football home weekends. So even if they do play, that's pretty much done.
Yeah.
That's not happening. The TV inventory is there. There's revenue from that. And in the NFL, the NFL is a lot less dependent on the loaded up weekends that college athletics brings to, you know, much smaller places than the NFL, bigger cities. So I can make the case, well, if you do punt to the spring and you're lucky enough that maybe there is a vaccine and that you could actually have games with people in the stands, in the end, you could be better off. Problem is, you don't know that that's going to be the case.
You don't know that's going to be the case. And also, if I'm Trevor Lawrence or someone like Trevor Lawrence that's, you know, is going pro after this year.
Done.
There's no way I'm playing in the spring. I'm not playing in the spring. The draft's in April. there's just no way that's going to happen. And that's the part I worry about. Look, I've reached the point where any college football to me is something I'll take and I'll be happy with. But the part about moving it to the spring is if you're a high-profile junior or you're a senior that's about to declare for the NFL draft, what real incentive do you have to play at that point? I think you'll see a lot of guys choose not to play if it gets moved to the spring.
I mean, what a great story for Tennessee that Trey Smith comes back. He gives a nod to Peyton Manning. He's just an amazing program rep and player. And he's not going to play if they go to the spring, and I don't blame him.
No. I couldn't believe he came back to begin with.
I mean, this year for the Vols, there's a lot of questions still, and it starts at quarterback, and, you know, defensively they should be pretty good, but the offensive line could be ridiculous with those running backs, you know? I mean, and if you have that, that makes everything else a lot better. And so if you don't play in the fall, that – I mean, I think about Tennessee basketball this year too, men's basketball. That team, you know, what – are we going to get to see it?
Yeah.
It could be special. You know, it's you think about certain special teams that could be lost here. And, yeah, college football, in a way it would be – you could still have a great season. You know, no Justin Fields, no Trevor Lawrence. You could still have a lot of talented players, and it would be competitive and fun. But, yeah, a lot of this season is about those guys, right? I mean, Trevor Lawrence trying to win another championship. And that's certainly out the window if you don't play this fall.
I'm worried, Joe. I really am.
I love
me some college football so much. And I've been that's one thing I've been looking forward to is, to be honest with you, and I know a lot of people don't feel this way, but if you force me to pick between the NFL and college football, I'm picking college football all day long.
Yeah.
I just love it.
I don't blame you. I love it too. I mean, it's hard to imagine a fall without it. And football's had all this time. I don't know what, honestly, they could have done differently, but it feels like they could have done something differently. And look, the bottom line is, at the end of May, the way things were going in this country, it looked like by now we'd be in pretty good shape. And you could deal with it. And it's just a lot of people who are selfish and careless have made it go bad.
No question about it. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show, kind of look ahead at what we're looking forward to tonight in the world of sports. It feels so good to have the world of sports back. That'll be next. But first, don't miss a second of the action as the Preds return this Sunday to face the Arizona Coyotes. Watch viewing parties Burger Republic, if I could speak, and Party Foul. Stop by Burger Republic in Lenox Village or Mount Juliet and enjoy the Forsburger for a limited time. The Forsburger, very creative name for a burger there, and $4 Happen Harry's Pints. That's at Burger Republic in Lenox Village or at Mount Juliet. We'll be right back. This is Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad and Elijah Campbell. Final segment of the day. Boys, I know this song because it was on NBA 2K.
Okay.
I don't know what it's called, but I know what it is.
NBA Street, Volume
2. Was it on NBA Street, too?
Yeah, this is an OG NBA Street song right here.
They reminisce over you, Robbie.
They do. Why wouldn't you?
Two artists.
I am so impressed with Rex Rhodes' knowledge of old school hip-hop.
Pete Rock, CL Smooth. Great song, Elijah. Great stuff. All right, so where is Robbie? Are you going to bring back the one, though, that was instrumental? Do you bring it back with some lyrics for him?
Here, let me bring that up for you real quick.
It ain't going to work.
I think it might.
My batting average is going to dip
down.
I
think you're 333 right now, which, again, is still
– I'll take it.
That's strong. You're fine. Here's to the last discussion, Robbie.
Yes.
So Kyle Brandt tweets, you know, I feel like that, some NFL media rooting against it, blah, 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 you know, because people are pointing out the Marlins thing.
Rooting against the NFL coming back.
My guy Stephen Holder, who covers the Colts for the Athletic, is like, I mean, just stop it.
Stupid.
No one's rooting against it if you say that it might be a problem, if you're covering what might happen. There is not a single person who has to feed their families or pay their rent covering sports with people getting laid off who understand that we could all lose our jobs who's freaking rooting for it. It's so stupid.
It's very dumb. Very dumb.
My God, it is so stupid.
I would like nothing better than for NFL to come back, be normal, have my college football on Saturdays. It'd be great. I'd love it. That does not mean that I get to ignore certain realities that may prevent that.
I mean, so basically you have to, I guess you have to be like, this is nothing. No big deal, guys. Football's fine. Everything's positivity. I mean, that's other than that, you're rooting against the sports from happening. You can't look at something and say, wow, this is a problem. Here's what they're trying to do. You can't talk about this. I mean, look, my guy Dan Wolkin, people rip on him. I mean, I remember he wrote a column that said the NCAA tournament might be in trouble, and I was like, Dan, come on, man. Yeah. Really? But 5 days later, I was like, oh, gee, you were right. I mean, but Dan is like, he's poster child of everyone thinks he's rooting against sports. Not rooting against sports. He works for a newspaper company I used to work for that, you know, has laid off people and could lay off more and has furloughs and has stopped 401k matching, and everyone's on edge here, okay? No one's rooting against sports from happening.
No. No question about it.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. Does Elijah, are you ready to go musically? It's okay if you're not. I'm just asking.
I am not.
That's okay.
Yeah.
All right. But we can save this one.
That's fine.
We'll save it.
So we'll call you. What did we determine my batting average is then?
I think 333. Is that right?
I'll have to review the tape on that. But yeah, I think you might have dipped below the 300 line there.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man.
Hey, but you're still above Mendoza. You're okay.
I'd still be in the league.
Yeah, you're still in the league. Yeah.
That's all I care about.
Might flirt and make an all-star team.
Just give me the check, man.
Hey, and you at least knew the tune on the last one.
Yeah.
So.
NBA 2K.
Give you a little credit for that.
Yeah, that's fine. What are we looking forward to tonight in the world of sports? Big story going on right now with the Miami Marlins, which has caused really a ton of dysfunction. They were supposed to host the Baltimore Orioles tonight. That has been canceled. Also, Yankees at Phillies tonight has been canceled as well. Miami Marlins coming down with, I think, 9 new cases today of COVID-19, bringing their total up to 14. So a big mess there in the Miami Marlins clubhouse. An outbreak has taken place, and now tonight 2 MLB games have been canceled.
Yeah, so yeah, Ken Rosenthal reporting Yankees Phillies canceled. So what are the? I mean, we're gonna have like baseball teams making the playoffs with, like 37 game schedules and stuff.
Maybe.
I mean,
like, how do you determine that? You make them up?
I mean, it's. I mean, I guess you just like let everyone be in the playoffs.
Play a triple header.
Just have a tournament with the whole league. You know. And those 2-1 Detroit Tigers could make a run all the way. Detroit Tigers batting 667 right now.
Let me tell you something.
It's been a while.
That's sustainable.
Yeah.
They'll be fine with that average.
By the way, Stephen Holder tweets at me, 2020 is the stupidest year of all time. Thank you, Stephen. I agree. Like, I mean, someone was like, oh, you're clearly rooting against you. Like, do I feed my family with this, with the covering the NFL? You think I want the NFL to not happen?
Right. Just crazy.
I'm
nuts.
Sorry. I can't stop. I can't.
It's okay.
And like smart people are buying into this crap. It's just incredible.
When I look ahead to this week, the NBA, and you brought this up earlier, Elijah, I'm so much looking forward to Lakers Clippers. I don't even really care about either team, but just to have Lakers Clippers and like competitive basketball back, I'm all about it, man.
That is such a great way to start. What a great way to start. I mean, obviously they put this together. They had a chance to put together a new schedule. That's a beautiful doubleheader. And just to see, hey, if the Zion stuff I'm seeing like on Twitter is true, he used this time productively.
He'll be ready to play, I guess, by that night, because he only had like a 4-day quarantine or whatever, but. Yeah, I mean, at least we're going to have our bubble sports. I mean, we can talk about, you know, if people want to hear positive stuff, which, I mean, I guess I get, I'm like Joe, I would like to be a realist here. The bubble idea works really, really, really well.
Yeah.
So we can enjoy the bubble sports we have. If you want some positivity, more than likely we'll finish the NBA season, barring someone being stupid and messing it up. We'll finish the NHL season, barring someone doing stupid and messing something up.
Just tell Lou Williams, stay inside, baby.
Tell Lou Williams to stay inside. Say, you know
stay
what, we will find a way to get the Magic City Wings delivered to you some way, somehow. The NBA is a multi-million dollar, I mean, flirting with billion-dollar industry. They can get you those wings, man. We can figure something out, but... If we want some positivity, the NBA is working really well right now. Knock on wood, the NHL is probably going to work if they stick to the plan. So we still have that at least.
And the NFL is I'm not –
training camp tomorrow, baby.
Yeah, I'm not saying the NFL has no chance, but this is a little glimpse of the challenge. You got a bigger roster. You just you have more moving parts, you know. And look, locally, this place has not been doing well. So there's just more risk naturally here. But yeah, I'm not convinced. I think the NFL is going to do everything possible to get through the season. I think it's going to be a wild ride. It's just it is hard to be college football is where. I'm sorry, but like I think if you're not pessimistic, you're not remotely realistic right now about college football. But I guess you're just rooting against it. Wouldn't want college football or anything. That would suck.
It'd be awful to have some college football to watch on a Sunday.
Oh, please, no.
I really love not watching anything.
I like talking about COVID-19 every day of my life. I love sitting in my home all day every day. And watching my kids fight all day. It's so awesome. I'm rooting for this. Shut up.
Joe's got a COVID-19 jersey on now. He's so ready to just talk about this the rest of his career.
It's in the shape of a 89 Pistons jersey over here, too.
If my kids play sports in the future, which I'm rooting against because I don't like sports or good things, they're all going to wear 19 because that's my favorite number now. I love 19.
Speaking of, what did you make of – isn't the Jordan brand logo on the Pistons jersey now? In their like their new jerseys,
is that right?
Didn't that happen?
Oh, it is. Oh, yeah, the Jumpman is on the Pistons jersey.
The Pistons logo.
Yeah, oh,
doesn't that make you feel good?
That is rock bottom right there. Oh, I didn't man. Even know. One more reason to root against sports. Go away, sports. No thanks. We like it like this. It's way better because we don't want to talk about fake crap and make up data and skew things to confirm what we think we would like to be true.
Got Joe fired. That's really my only goal for the day is to get Joe nice and fired up, and we've accomplished that.
We've done it. Yeah, this is the best way.
Took one day coming back in.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I mean, hey, this is all because of Kyle Brandt. Thanks a lot, Kyle. I like Kyle Brandt. Good Morning Football. It's good stuff.
Look, you got to get off of Twitter, man. That's what I'm telling you. I was off of Twitter so much during this quarantine. It was peaceful for the soul just to get away from it, man.
I took a week, and it was. It was good, and also it was a reminder that I am addicted because it's
I know.
The thing is, like, I don't really watch a lot. Like, on TV, I swear, like, I watch binge shows now that we don't have sports. So this is – I get news by things I follow on Twitter
sure.
and click on links and read about them or watch video clips. But you're right. This the discussion on Twitter.
It's a toxic place, man.
Oh.
Except for all of you who interact with us on Twitter on the show. We love you all.
Yes, there's a lot of fine people. You are the bright spot
on the Twitterverse.
A lot of fine people on Twitter. If we could all just unite and all agree that we all hate sports and are rooting against it, I think everything would be fine.
Yes, it would.
So come on, Twitter. Let's all agree. We all hate sports.
Joe, it was a wonderful first day back on the show here today. I had a lot of fun. It was good to be back in here with you.
Good to be with you, my friend. I'll try to calm down for tomorrow.
No, it's okay. You just bring the noise. Keep bringing it on. Elijah? Thank you so much, my friend, for being with us today. We appreciate you, as always.
It's been a blast.
Hey, yeah. Do you know this song?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Okay.
Bye-bye.
So you're 1,000 on boy bands.
Yeah, 1,000 on boy bands. Hip-hop, old-school hip-hop, about 200. That's going to do it for us today. Darren, Donick, and Chase coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.